down in the valley. Now, I used to watch a lot of these like old school Chinese mafia films when back in high school. And it reminded me of this scene of like when the big boss, right, when the Lao Da is gone. And like the rival gangs, they start to pick on the 徒弟 men. They start to pick on the little brothers because the big boss is gone. It's almost like that. Jesus in the mountaintop with his strong disciples. And then everyone's taking this opportunity to strike while the big boss is away. Now, just in time before things were going to go pretty bad, Jesus comes down from the mountain. And so when the people saw Jesus, they were in shock, in awe. Now, Jesus asked, what's the argument about? And so the answer is revealed to us. Someone in the crowd announces the problem. A boy who's been demon-possessed all his life, he's been trying to kill himself, he foams at his mouth, grinds his teeth, he becomes rigid. And in verse 22, we're told that the Spirit cast the son into the fire and water. So he's constantly trying to kill himself. So the Spirit has been afflicting him since childhood. And so the father in the story asked the disciples, can you heal my son? And it seems like the disciples were challenged by the crowds and the religious elite over their inability. They were most likely mocked and ridiculed because, you know, the people brought the son to the disciples, but they left disappointed. Now, notice what it says in verse 19. Jesus looked at them and said, you faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? You faithless people, how long must I put up with you? You can almost feel the frustration of Jesus. This is a problem that's recorded all throughout the Gospels. People are lacking faith. Faith is the problem. The disciples do not have faith. The disciples do not have faith in who Jesus is. So faced with his disciples' failure and the disappointment and the crowd's unbelief, Jesus doesn't throw up his hands in disgust or disappointment. He rectifies the situation because it's in his character to be merciful and compassionate. So the people bring the boy to Jesus, and the boy's father takes center stage with Jesus. Now look what happens. It's very interesting. When the demonic forces are face to face with Jesus, the demonic forces start acting up. There's this conflict. Because why? They're face to face with the living God. And they know the purpose and mission and identity of Jesus. And they know the power of Jesus. And they know their time is up. So what do? They attack the boy even more. Jesus turns to the father and says, how long has this been happening to him? And the father responds, since he was a small boy. It's like almost like an infant. He's been trying to kill himself. But if you can, Jesus, do something about it. Have mercy on us if you can. Think about what the father just said to Jesus. But if you can, do anything. If you can. And then Jesus says, what do you mean, if I can? You know? Do you know who I am? Like, what do you mean, if I can? Of course I can. You can almost sense that Jesus is rebuking this man. And the father immediately confesses that he does have some faith, but it's not enough. He says, help me overcome my unbelief. And the father cries out for help, honestly confessing the poverty of his faith. Now, Jesus acts upon the riches of his grace, and he shows mercy and he heals this boy. Now, then follows a scene when the disciples speak privately to Jesus after this whole event. If I was a disciple back in those days, I would have said to Jesus, like, dude, that was so embarrassing. Like, you know, like, people thought we were like top dogs here, you know, in Galilee and Jerusalem. People thought we were cool, like we could do it. But what happened? You know, like, I'll be so embarrassed. And then Jesus says to his disciples, because the disciples ask him, we couldn't cast out that demon from this boy. And then Jesus says, this kind can only be driven out by prayer. You see, what happened was the disciples not only lacked power because of their faith, but also they lack prayer. A prayer that Jesus has in mind here is a sense of complete dependence on God. Maybe somewhere along the way, doing ministry with Jesus, they started to get arrogant and confident in their own ways, no longer relying on the power of Jesus. Now at this point, I think the reason why God's people can't do that many things for his kingdom here on earth is that when we pray, we don't expect God to answer. It's almost like we need to rededicate ourselves to prayers offered in faith. And we must return to prayer to ask for God's help. Great things can be done for God consistently and effectively if his people prayed. You know, I believe prayer and intimacy with God through prayer is the only way in which us Christians can fully step into our identity and our mission and purpose here on earth. You see, the disciples, they became weak and negligent in their prayer life. They were powerless in facing these strong evil forces. No prayer, no power. It's as simple as that. That's what the disciples faced. Now, there are a couple of lessons that we can learn from today's story. And the first point I want to bring out is this. Our failures deepen our need for dependence upon Jesus. Our failures deepen our need for dependence upon Jesus. Think about the context here. The disciples failed big time. They were ridiculed. It probably cast a doubt on their master. It made their boss look bad. They probably were filled with self-doubt themselves. And what's interesting is that so far in the Gospels, the disciples have a pretty good track record in healing and having authority over unclean spirits. So it's most likely a very surprising situation where the disciples are they're not successful. They failed to cast out the demon from this boy. And to be honest, as we think about it, failing is something that most of us don't enjoy, right? Failing is painful. It's embarrassing, hurtful, even humiliating. And it can be hard to forget. If you ask athletes, actors, or musicians, they often remember more vividly the times they failed than their times of success. And in our culture today, failure can be seen as a bad thing, especially in our context. But as I thought about it more, depending on how we react, I believe failure can be a positive learning opportunity. I believe failure can be a positive learning opportunity. Why? Because it's a teaching moment. Because when we fail and when we stuff up, it teaches us to be utterly dependent on God. I think the problem with us today is that we're too prideful, thinking to ourselves that, hey, we are more than capable. And because of that, I really believe God intervenes and humbles us through failure. You know, I remember when I first started to live out my faith in my early 20s. I thought I was young, full of knowledge of the Bible because I went to Sunday school, grew up as a pastor's son. I was very arrogant, and I would try and talk to people about Jesus. And I just didn't have the right words to say. I would try to pray for people, and I just, again, wouldn't have the right words to say. I remember the first sermon that I preached, it was so bad. I literally repeated, you know, you have to be salt and light. Like literally throughout the whole sermon. I'm surprised people didn't walk out. They were just being way too polite. And so many times I failed in my pastoral counseling and work and messages. But I believe it's a good thing because it's a learning opportunity that I need to pray more. I need to humble myself and depend on God. Each time there is a failure in my life and in ministry, it has driven me to say, God, I need help. I can't do this on my own. I need to let my humility drive me to the sufficiency of Christ. And I think it was a very valuable lesson for the disciples that day. To not stay in the status quo and be like, yeah, I'm with Jesus. You know, I have been in close proximity with Jesus. I know what to do. It's probably just another demon in this boy. I've seen it all before. Their lack of prayer and lack of faith failed to drive out the demon. I think that day it taught them a big lesson. You see, though they're equipped, though they're chosen, though they're the disciples and close to Jesus, they still need to constantly rely on Jesus. You see, our failures deepen our need and our dependence upon Jesus. Second point, God desires our honest faith. God desires our honest faith. I'm very impressed by the father in this story. He had a great need. He recognized that he can't move ahead in life if his son's going to be like this. So he comes to Jesus and he's hopeful that Jesus can help. But Jesus senses that there's still some doubt and unbelief in his heart. Then the father straight out lays his heart out before Jesus. I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. I love it, right? The father's like crying out to God. He's almost saying to Jesus, I have faith and I have no faith. I trust in you, Jesus, but I don't trust in you, Jesus. we have access into the man's heart, and I can't help but feel the way he feels sums up our Christian walk with God, doesn't it? In the different situations in our lives. I have faith in you, Jesus, to do this, but I don't. I trust in you, Jesus, but I can't trust in you. And the dad's like, look, I'm not going to pretend, I'm not going to hide, and I'm not going to dress it up. I'm actually on the fence about you, Jesus. I've heard about you, and I just wished I believed a bit more, but I've seen and experienced too much in my life and suffering in my life for my son. But you see, Jesus loves that. And it's clear to us that he much prefers honest doubt over pretend faith. You see, God loves it when we struggle with him, when we wrestle with him in doubt. That the Lord loves the struggler and has no time for the pretender. He wants our honesty, our questions, our uncertainty, and he can handle all of it. And he much rather us question and have doubt than for us to simply ignore him. So if you're in that place from time to time in your life, it's okay. It's okay to be frightened. It's okay to say, Lord, I trust you, but I've seen too much in life and I can't trust you. Don't stay there. Continue to press in. Imagine what it would be like as individuals and as a church if we were so close to God that we were willing to say, God, I don't know about this. You know, I don't know how I feel about this. I'm finding it so hard to trust you right now in my marriage. I've gone through too much pain and suffering, but help me trust you. God, I don't know about whether my finances can get any better. It's been a complete wreck all my life, but I trust you, right? God, these relationships in my life at school are so bad, and there's no return, but I trust you. You see, the Father shows us what it means to have honest faith, a faith that wrestles and struggles with God. I believe that's what God wants. God desires us to ask him of things, and he loves it when his children depend on him. Recently, daughter Erin has gone through this phase where she's really dependent on us, right? She always wants us to hold her, and when we hold her, she's always like pointing at things, like what she wants, right? What she needs. Like, you know, she needs a cup of water, or like she wants that snack. And as a father, in my nature, I love it. You know, I love her sense of dependency, and I love just giving those things to her. I remember like one time, I took her to Hillsdale Mall, and I took her to Gap. You know, Gap has a kids section, and she was like pointing at all these things. And I just started buying all these things for her, you know, because it's in my nature to love and to give her the things that she wants. And as I thought about this, I was like, as people made in the image of God, are we not more than the birds in the sky and the lilies in the field? And when we ask God and when we desire of God to give us faith and to give us a life of power and prayer, and I think it pleases God when we have that type of request before him. Not hiding in fear, but saying, God, I need this. I need you to deliver me from this addiction. God, I need you to help me to experience healing in my body. God, I need you to help me have the power to evangelize to my friends. God desires us when we bring every request and supplication and petition and thanksgiving to him. It's in his nature for him to love us and for him to give us the things that we need. You see, often it's not about the impressiveness of our faith, but it's about the impressiveness of the one we put our faith in. And that day was about the Father's great faith. But more so, it was about the one who is perfect, Jesus. You see, though the Father's faith is weak and small, at least he's looking in the right direction and asking the right person for help. And you have to really love his honesty here. I know my faith is weak. I know it's partial. I know it's incomplete, but I trust you, Jesus. If you don't deliver my son, then he will not be delivered. But help me in spite of this. Help me in spite of what may happen. Help my unbelief. I need you. So as I wrap it up this morning, we see from today's story, the disciples, they were perplexed about their inability to cast out this demon. Now, perhaps their experience in this realm and their presumptuous behavior had fallen into the status quo. And no longer do they rely on God anymore. The answer that we have today is that we need to pray. No power, no prayer. No prayer, no power. And as individuals, as a church, imagine the type of work we could accomplish if we prayed more. Think about it, right? In today's churches, we spend more time in meetings and activities, but we lack prayer. All right? Often in churches, I always hear people like, prayer is so passive. It really doesn't accomplish anything. Could we just do something, start planning? Prayer is the driving force of the church. Prayer is the driving force of our faith. Without prayer, we cannot accomplish anything. Without prayer, we can't experience the power of God. We also see in a helpless boy who's been tormented all his life by demonic forces. And it reminds us again that the things that we battle against on this earth is not of earthly authorities, but it's of the spiritual realm, of the principalities of darkness and the evil forces that are constantly trying to destroy the image of man, the image of God in man, pulling us down. But at the same time, we see a desperate father who comes humbly before God, simply asking him to do a mighty work. Even though he does struggle with his faith, but within that struggle, he knows that ultimate help and deliverance can only come from God. Today, you and I are in a battle as well. We think that our battle is of earthly authorities, or sometimes we get angry at governments and politics, but there's actually a spiritual war that's waging on. And it's the evil one trying to constantly pull our affections and our trust away from Jesus. But as we learn, if only we just attempt to look in the right direction to the right person for help, Jesus Christ, that anything is possible with him. Though our faith is often inadequate, it's fickle, but the one we look to is perfect. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can learn from the demon-possessed boy and the desperation of the father. We learn that, Lord, as we look to you, we can receive help. As we look to you, we can experience deliverance in our lives. So, Lord, help us to have that struggle in our faith. To know that it's okay to be weak and fickle in our faith. But help us to ultimately keep our eyes on you. Lord, also help us and remind us that failures in life and ministry are perfectly normal. But it's the attitude that we ought to have towards these failures. And it's the attitude that should drive us to humble ourselves and say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I need your help. I need your help. So Lord, through today's story, remind us powerfully through your presence and your promises in your word that anything is possible for those who believe. Maybe some of us, we're praying for some breakthrough in our work. We're praying for breakthrough in our marriages, in our relationships. We're praying for breakthrough in our evangelism, in our church. Lord, help us to simply believe that anything is possible for the one who believes in your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to have that faith. Help us to have a life of prayer and intimacy with you, the Father. And help us to walk out in greater confidence in this day and age, knowing that the things that we fight are not of earthly things, but it's in the spiritual realm. And in that spiritual realm, we worship and we come under a king who has conquered the evil forces, a king who has conquered the kingdom of darkness, a king who through his life, death, and resurrection has promised eternal life with him. A king that is worthy for all of us to lay down our pride, our time, our energy, our resources, to just worship. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word, and help us continue to look forward to the day where you will come again in full glory, where you will be transformed into dazzling white, where you come and receive us as your sons and daughters. Lord, help us look forward to that day with full assurance and confidence. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, let's worship. Quickly, I really love opportunities where we are able to hear stories of what God is doing, not only in our community, but also far and away in places that we may have never been to or even heard of. That's why we've made a very intentional effort as adults in the last couple of years to partner with Mario in Indonesia, a missionary in Indonesia, where we have seen God do amazing things through miracles and through our finances. And an update is one of their Bible schools in Indonesia is being